The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
So this morning we are continuing a new series on a child's faith. And today we'll be looking at Samuel, who listens to God. And this is a wonderful, wonderful story. And it's a motherhood story because Hannah, his mother, lived in a house with two wives. I hope nobody here is in that situation. But she was, and her rival, the other wife, had children, and she had none. And as we should, she took her crisis to God in prayer. And even though the priest Eli accused her of being drunk that day, she was actually pleading with God for a son. And she promised that if God were to give her a son, she would dedicate him to the Lord. And God did. God did hear and answer her prayer. And Samuel means, "My name is God." That is a very interesting name for this one. She fulfilled her vow probably 3 years later after he was weaned. We suspect that the fact that she offers a three-year-old bull, that possibly Samuel was three, that she had taken time to wean him over 3 years. Now this is very significant because Samuel is in a wonderful home, and he's put in a dysfunctional home, to say the least. Yet, he consistently walked with God. Do not underestimate the power and significance of the first few years of life. It is such an important time where the foundation is laid in the life. And Samuel is such an illustration of this because it says in the scriptures, for instance, here in 1 Samuel chapter 2, that's where we'll be in 1 Samuel, it says, "Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest." You see, he ministered before the Lord. I sought to teach my children, you live your life before the audience of one, and that one is a capital one. It is the Lord you live your life before. And so he was living his life before the Lord in a dysfunctional priestly home, yet he did so consistently, and we see this in his life. The very next verse says, Eli's sons were scoundrels. That's an underestimation. They were worthless. That's what the word scoundrel means. They were useless. They were committing horrible sins while they were serving as priests. And Samuel lived in stark contrast to that. Now Samuel will replace the priesthood line of Eli. And he will be the last judge and also a prophet. He has an incredible life. And it all started in answer to the prayers of his mother. So I want to read from 1 Samuel chapter 3. I bought a new Bible, has bigger print. Thank you very much. Anyway, I don't know why I threw that in. The boy Samuel, 1 Samuel 3:1, ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in this place. The The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. There are three qualities in this young boy. Josephus says he was 12. We don't really know how old he was. But he's a child. He's a boy. He had a servant attitude. He was intent on obeying God, the servant. He also had a student's aptitude. He's ready to learn what God has to teach him. And finally, he's a steward's ambition. He's ready to share what God gives him. I find these to be very important qualities if we're going to receive God's word. So, a servant's attitude. Samuel is ready to obey. Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. He is performing his duties as he understands them at that time. God picks busy people. Have you noticed that? God picks people who are doing well. If God will, if you're faithful with a little, he'll give you more. Now, that's what I see in Samuel. He is faithful at 12 years old, what he's supposed to be doing, learning the priesthood, and God is going to grant him much, much more. It is Samuel living his life. Now, both of them were sleeping, as it says, and they're laying right by the menorah, the seven-branch light there, and that's always a symbol of truth. Remember when we looked at John 8:12, I am the light of the world? Jesus was looking back at the same symbol. He's the light of the world. Now it says in the verse, in those days, it's very significant, the word of the Lord was rare, there were not many visions. It was rare that God would speak. There weren't many visions, prophetic visions. Where there is no vision, the people will perish, the proverb says. When there's not the revealed word of God, people go into chaos. It's true. It was true then. It's still true today. And so chaos was the rule of the day. I remember, this comes on the heels of the book of Judges. I don't know when you've read Judges recently, but the very last verse says, in those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. They weren't paying attention to the word of God. God wasn't speaking. They weren't going to listen anyway. But God's going to speak through a child. And things are going to change because of this servant ready to obey what God would share with him. Amos says there's a famine in the land in his day, and it's a famine of the Word of God. That's such a judgment of God. When people are not hearing the Word of God, that is such a sign of God's judgment. Now, what happens? Well, one night, as we read, Eli's laying there, and God speaks to Samuel. Samuel gets up and runs to Eli. You're called? Here I am. Then it happens again. And then finally it happens a third time. God is calling out a new prophet. He's calling out a new priest. Hophni and Phinehas were scoundrels. They were stealing sacrifices, they were disregarding the sacrifices, and they were committing sexual immorality right there in the temple. And God was going to place his judgment upon that family and upon Eli. God is calling a new servant. He's calling Samuel. Do we listen to God's voice? See, are we ready to listen? He called a third time. Are we ready to listen? Do we want to apply what we hear? See, that's what a sheep are like. Remember this from John 10? Sheep hear the Savior's voice. They know him, he knows them, and they follow him. That's what they do. And Samuel's like this. He wants to not only hear the voice of God, again, as the story unfolds, he wants to obey it. Do I listen with a heart to obey? Or do I just listen to criticize and evaluate, study the language, know the facts? Or is it really in my heart's desire to obey what God tells me? In a sermon entitled Choices, John Ortberg begins this section of his sermon with these words. I can't live Jesus' life, and Jesus knows that. But he says, you can ask me to come and live my life in you. So he goes on to illustrate this by telling the story. He's in a remote place with his wife, and they rent a car, and the guy behind the desk says, do you want a GPS? And of course he says, no, I don't need a GPS. And then his wife says, yes, we do want one. And of course he gets the GPS. And as you know, the GPS gives us directions, and there's this wonderful female voice who tells us how to go. And he describes how this works, of course. And you know, the voice says turn left, and then you turn left. But then you're thinking, maybe I don't want to turn left. This only happens to men, of course. But anyway, and here's the point, okay? To follow Jesus means I will do what he says. Now I mess up a lot, but I'm going to need his power, and I know that. And I have this intention. I want to obey God. I want to do what God tells me to do. And primarily, he reveals his will to me through his written word. And so I want to read and I want to listen to it. And he says, if that's not your intent, then you may be an admirer of Jesus, but you're not a follower. And we want to be followers. That's who disciples are. We want to follow how he leads. After the first service, a man came up and I won't embarrass him who he was. He said, I don't want to just listen to God. I want to listen for God as he's leading me. I said, oh, that's good. See? Now sometimes we do get off, and he describes how he gets off track, and you know, and he unplugs the GPS because he's tired of hearing, make a U-turn. So anyway, so he gets rid of it, and then he gets really lost. And he says, of course, he plugs it back in, and the female voice says, you idiot, I told you how to. No, it doesn't say that, right? The GPS very kindly says, make a U-turn. And our God, our Savior, lets us make U-turns. I so want you to hear that. Sometimes we don't hear. Sometimes we hear and we don't obey, but he's always ready to forgive and give us a new start. And that's such a precious similarity that God gives us. Well, not only is he a servant, he's a student, and he has an aptitude. He wants to learn. So in verse 9, Eli gives him advice. Finally, the light goes on for Eli. I find that kind of funny in a way, right? He realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli tells Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Remember, Samuel's 12. So Samuel went and lay down in this place. And then the incredible vision, the Lord came and stood there. I have not seen the Lord standing there. But Samuel did. This is what we would call in theology a theophany. It's a Old Testament vision of Jesus. You remember those three guys in the furnace? And then the king looks in and there's four? That's Jesus. Remember at Bethel, Jacob sees the Lord Jesus. Moses up on Mount Sinai sees the Lord Jesus. Isaiah saw the Lord Jesus. And you know, and this is a theophany. He actually saw him and he heard him. And what an incredible vision it is. It's so very dramatic and so precious. And then the Lord Jesus gives Samuel the message. The Lord said to Samuel, see, behold, this is the word that's always used by the prophets. They listen to what I'm saying now. Behold, see. I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. In the Old Testament, when ears are tingling, you know why? Because judgment is coming. That's why their ears were tingling. We today like to have our ears tickled, but he made them tingle. And it was judgment. That time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him, and it's recorded in chapter 2, that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Now, I know this is Mother's Day, but dads, hear that. We have that responsibility. It's the only place in the Old Testament that word restrain is used. You know what it means? Restrain. It's not that hard. But sometimes it is. But don't give up. Don't throw up your towel. Don't, you know, be faithful. Even if they don't listen. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. The willful sinning of these priests was so defiant that there was no sacrifice that could be offered. Judgment was coming. Now here's Samuel. He's 12 years old. And he gets this message. Boy, that had to be tough. That had to be difficult. He wants to comprehend the Word of God. He wants to understand it. Do your best to present yourself a workman who knows how to correctly handle the word of truth. That's the theme verse for Awana. And in 2 weeks, we're going to be celebrating Awana Awards to children in our church that, like Samuel, want to learn the word of God. We have two this year who are getting the citation award. They have learned scallions of verses. They have written a summary of every book of the Bible. And they get a citation. It sounds like they got arrested. Well, that's not really what happened. They're being honored. What a blessing. May we as adults hunger for the Word of God. Not just to know the facts, but to obey it and to learn more. Do you know that after George Bush, the President of the United States can give every one of us who has a smartphone a direct message? God's better than that. He doesn't need a smartphone. And let me tell you this. I'm going to say this really straight. If the adults won't listen, God will speak to children. I'm telling you. Many revivals have begun with young people. For instance, the Welsh Revival, one of my favorites, because I happen to be Welsh. That's why I have two first names, John. Anyway, Evan Roberts was at university. God impressed upon him, you've got to take a message back to your home church. Evan Roberts got permission from the president of the school to go home. He went to his local church. He said, Pastor, I have a message for the church. The pastor said, well, we have a meeting tonight. If anybody wants to stay around and listen to your meeting and your message, okay. So there was a row of, I forget how many, but just a few young men who stayed and listened. And Evan Roberts said, we must get right with God. That started the revival. All over the world, the Welsh Revival. Because a young man was faithful to do what God told him to do. We're learning. I hope we're learning today. And as steward's ambition, Samuel is ready to share what God has told him. Now remember, he's 12 years old, but God has prepared the opportunity for him. And it says, Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid. I can imagine. Can you see his legs shaking? To tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, Samuel, my son? And Samuel answered, here I am. God not only prepares the opportunity, he prepares the hearts of the people who are going to hear the word of God through us. I believe that. You believe that. You're not here by chance today. to hear what we're just talking about. And this is the way God works. We got five faves on the list we're praying for, and we're not shocked when they start asking questions about the Savior because we've been praying for them, right? This is what God does. And this is what he did here. "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me." "May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." Man, that's like a solemn vow. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. His first assignment as a prophet is very difficult. How much better it would have been if he goes, "Oh, God's just going to bless you, rah, rah." No. And Eli said, "He is the Lord, let him do what is good in his eyes." I don't think he's really submitting. I don't think he's repenting. I think he's just resigning himself. And sadly, the prophecy came true. And Eli died. Matthew Henry's so critical of Eli. He goes, "He's fat, he can't see, it's time for him to retire." That's what Matthew Henry says in his commentary. But it's not a funny thing that he had to deliver that message. Sometimes the most important messages are confrontational. And then the Lord blesses his faithful preacher. The Lord was with Samuel. Underline that, verse 19. I'm going to tell you, when God is with you, you're a majority. All right? You don't need anybody else. When the Lord was with Samuel, we'll see this again and again in these stories of children. He's 12 years old, but the Lord is with him. And as he grew up, he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Everything he said was true. Every prophecy he made was true. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, which is basically the outline of the nation, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word, and Samuel's word came to all Israel. God blessed him because he was faithful. He was a steward who was ready to carry out the Lord's work. He asked God for message. God gave him the message and he delivered it. He didn't change the message. He's like John the Baptist. He's just a voice crying in the wilderness. Oh, how we must be faithful to declare the word of God. Say it lovingly. Yes. But say it simply and straight. Chapter 12 is a great chapter in this letter, and it's the final words of Samuel to the nation. So after all these years, he was a child in the story, after all these years, Samuel said to all Israel, "I have listened to everything you've said to me and have set a king over you. Now you have a king as your leader. As for me, I am old and gray, and my sons are here with you. I have been your leader from my youth until this day. Here I stand." 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 3. "Here I stand, testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? If I have done any of these things, I will make it right." "You have not cheated or oppressed us," they replied. "You have not taken anything from anyone's hand." And Samuel said to them, "The Lord is witness against you, and also his anointed, which would be the king, is witness this day, and you have not found anything in my hand. He is witness." A life of integrity was a life controlled by the word of God. What's true for Samuel is true for you and it's true for me. Now again, we remember God permits U-turns, and sometimes we get off course and we don't listen and obey. But oh, that we would! Oh, that we would listen as servants. Oh, that we would be his ambassadors. That's who we are. We're just his ambassadors. We represent him and the homeland, which is heaven. Hallelujah! And everywhere we go, we get this chance to share what he has taught us. And we have this charge to proclaim it. All this story of Samuel reminds me of what we said last week about Jesus. And I love this of what Jesus said. At that time, Jesus, full of joy and through the Holy Spirit, Luke 10:21, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. Oh, that I would be a little child. Oh, that you would be a little child. Oh, that we would all be childlike in our faith and our love for the Word of God, that we would be servants who are ready to obey, that we'd be students who are ready to learn, that we would, yes, indeed, be stewards who are ready to share what he has shown us. Hey, W. Tozer, in that very famous book, probably my second favorite book to the Bible, The Pursuit of God, he says it this way, and I love it. God is forever seeking to speak himself out to his creation. The whole Bible supports this idea. God is speaking. Not God spoke, but God is speaking. He is by his nature continuously articulate. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Not just listening one day, but every day. Not just listening when it's convenient, but listening when it's not convenient. And may God help us to understand that the book is still living. I love the way Tozer says this, too. I got to be careful because I'll quote too much Tozer and then you'll say, what happened to him? But I believe, he says, that much of the religious unbelief is due to the wrong conception of and a wrong feeling of the scriptures of truth. A silent God suddenly began to speak in a book, and when the book was finished, lapsed back into silence again forever. It's not true. You want to hear the voice of God? Get alone with your Bible. Ask God to speak to you, and he will. He'll come through the Word of God. Almost every time God has spoken to me, even inclinations, it came from a portion of Scripture. I could tell it was a voice from God because it agreed with Scripture. If it doesn't agree with Scripture, it's not the voice of God. Right? So the better I know the voice of God, the better I can discern his leading in my life and then do it. So the father took his son to an orchestra and he said, now, son, I want you to listen to the flutes. Son said, what are flutes? Until you learn how to discern the sound of a flute, you'll never hear it in the orchestra. We live in a time and an age where there's so many voices, so many opinions, so much going on. Learn to hear the voice of God with your Bible open and your heart open in prayer. Daily feed upon his word. And he'll direct your steps. Just like little Samuel. And sometimes you'll get off course and he allows U-turns. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the example of Samuel today. A servant. A student. A steward. Father, help us not to be hearers only of your word, but doers. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.